All right, everyone, welcome back into another Fantasy Golf video. Going to be touching on the 3M Open, the top picks, the best values, some sleeper picks, giving you guys a first look build, and then getting into the core plays. But first, just real quickly, a recap from last week. The Open Championship was a fun tournament. It was nice. I was able to give out some GPP winning advice. If you look at the GPP winning lineup, you actually could have ended up on a better combination using the 9-to-5 player pool. Didn't have that many miscuts. And if you look at the ownership leverage, yes, Brian Harman was ranked as a player that should be faded. Okay, he was slightly overowned. That was really the one big blemish there. Other than that, pretty solid stuff from the ownership leverage tool once again this week. A little bit of Jason Day, I guess. A little bit of a blemish there. But if you look at the players that were undervalued, that all played well. Very good results there as well. So on all, the ownership leverage delivered once again last week. Just a solid week through and through for the Open Championship as well. It was on Brian Harman. And the nice thing about Brian Harman as a winner last week was that if anyone was using the 9-to-5 outright tag, there would have been a good chance that they're able to end up on him as an outright bet because he had the long shot outright bet tag, which is basically used to be used for long shot bets. Players that have over 100-to-1 odds, which he was one of those. Others were Danny McCarthy and Andrew Putnam. I ended up on Danny McCarthy, very close to getting to Brian Harman as an outright bet last week, actually very kind of tilting. I ended up going with Danny McCarthy, who was a little bit better of play statistically, but not real shocking to see Brian Harman win. Kind of an awesome win for him. It was very strange to see him getting a lot of hate, really for no reason. He's not a likable guy, but he's not a hateable guy either. It's just kind of strange that he was getting hate. I'm actually good for him, right? Good win for him. Let's go ahead and touch on one other thing here as well. So this past weekend, my wife and I had our first born child. So with that, might be a little bit sleep deprived, to be honest with you guys. The advice hopefully is still as good as it typically is. If it's not, I have a good excuse there. But just want to call that out. The content that I'm going to be putting out is not going to be as frequent or as much really for the next week or two. Might just be this video and maybe doing the write-up still. We'll see. But the data will be out typically at the normal time on Mondays for those 9-to-5 site members. But I want to call this out as well, kind of in honor of her. And also with the FedEx Cup playoffs right around the corner, I'm running out this promo code on the 9-to-5 website. And part of the reason why I'm doing this is a lot of people in the comment section and in, you know, DMs was asking me, hey, in celebration of, you know, your firstborn, is there any way I can donate to the channel? I typically say, you know, just sign up for a membership. And so what I'm doing for up until the Tour Championship is I'm writing out this promo code. It's going to be 50% off for new site members. So it's a $10 membership. You can get it for $5. It's really the best value out there. I mean, you cannot not take advantage of that. It's just such a good value. But with that, we have the 3M Open, which to me is kind of one of my favorite tournaments. It's one that I've been able to go to. It's actually home of one of my best weeks in a long time, probably, or one of the top weeks that I had in PGA DFS there the first year it happened. And if we look at the result of this tournament, we have seen some strange winners, some really statistically bad winners, like Cameron Champ is like a perfect example. Matthew Wolf, like these two players, sure, they might actually, Cameron Champ was completely shocking. Scott Piercy, if it weren't for a blister on his foot last year, wins that tournament, and it would have been kind of shocking there as well. We do see a very strange surge from players in their play here. It's just more like Cameron Champ shouldn't have won. He was statistically a bad play that year. Matthew Wolf, not terrible, but kind of got lucky, honestly. Michael Thompson as well, not a terrible play, but also, you know, probably not someone that should have won. Okay, so very interesting in that regard in terms of players that we should be looking on in terms of outright. Now, that being said, we have seen that this is a tournament that has been a little bit easier to predict in terms of like players that we should be on, players that are going to be good plays in general. And then just real quickly, since I had this page pulled up here, this is what it looked like once you apply the promo, if you guys are interested in using that. But let's go ahead and get into the cheat sheet. I want to show you guys the specialist data because I feel like that is kind of, we have an interesting data point to go off of when we're looking at that. So for those of you guys that are unaware, the specialist data is 9-to-5's data for pulling in all the unique characteristics of that week's tournament in terms of the course. And what I think is the most unique for this week's tournament is the amount of water hazards that are in play. There is water hazards on every single hole, maybe except for one. I know there's like 18. Anyway, I just want to look at the results for players on courses that had many water hazards in play. So Tony Finau is the one that's popping up. That's probably why he won last year, right? Also, that's partially why he's ranked that high, but still. Peter, I still can't say his last name just yet. He's popping up in there. Hideki, Sanjay, Christian Bazunout, David Lemers, Zach Blair, Eric Cole. And this is very much going to be a data point that I think we can come back to when we are trying to figure out maybe which players we want to go on and beyond in a 50-50 decision maker type of situation. I think that's the best application of that. And I mean, other than that, that's really it that I want to be looking at in terms of specialist data. Let's just take a peek at who are the best specialists. Hideki, Cameron Young, Peters really popping up in there. Sanjay Im, Chaz Cage Lee, Ryan Fox kind of had an interesting week last week. I didn't even mention last week, guys, the value plays really went off. We had two players sub 6K make the cut. It was very awesome last week in terms of players that we could be on that were good values. Hopefully we have that again this week. It kind of seems like that this week. Real quickly, let's go and take a peek at the golfers with the best course history. So we have 4 years of course history data, which is awesome to go off of. We can actually now see some trends as to what goes into which players are more likely to play well. And it's just nice to add that 4 year sample size. With that, I do want to share kind of one of my favorite fantasy golf memories. That 4 years ago, the opening year for this tournament being played at TPC Twin Cities, I was following around Sanjay Im. It's just fun because his family was there. His dad's like out there grinding out golf shots, like slamming his umbrella into the ground when Sanjay would not hit a good shot. But all in all, he was a rookie that season. It was just so strange. Like, I was like literally the only other like fan, I guess, following him. There's like maybe two other people, and I'm just like grinding out the shots there with Sanjay Im. That's kind of the beauty of these Midwest based tournaments as well, is that you get up and close with a lot of these big name players. He is someone that I think we could be looking at. What was funny about that as well, just real quick, Brooks Koepka and DJ had huge crowds that day, and they didn't pan out pretty well. And I'm kind of teasing that because like Tony Finau and maybe Justin Thomas, that could be them this week as well. We'll get into that in just a second. But let's take a peek at the players that had the best course history. Sanjay Im being number one. Tony Finau has had tremendous results here. We see Adam Hadwin popping up in there, JT Poston, Bryce Garnett. And so what are we kind of starting to see here? Golfers that have played well at this tournament tend to play well. I think we can kind of come to that conclusion. Michael Glick propping up in there. Wow, I forgot about that. He was actually, I think I've been on him the last 2 years. That's kind of crazy. Grillo as well. Patrick Rogers, Adam Long, Cameron Champ. Very random win there for Cameron Champ. Cameron Davis popping up in there. Patton Kizzire, Aaron Baddeley. So we have a lot of golfers that have made like 3 out of 4 cuts, 2 out of 3 cuts. And so I think that's going to make the build process a little bit easier this week. So number one is going to be Mark Hubbard. Okay, Mark Hubbard coming off of some pretty good starts. Yes, Barracuda Championship, Barbasol Championship. Oh, well, like still great finishes there. Prior to that, a couple of missed cuts, but multiple top 10 finishes. I think he's going to be a popular name. Hideki Matsuyama, you know, had that kind of random missed cut 2 events ago, but since then, or prior to that as well, he has been playing some great golf, had a top 20 finish last week. Seb Straka coming in with some great form as well. Followed up that victory 2 weeks ago at the John Deere Classic. And if for anyone that's saying events like the John Deere Classic don't matter or whatnot, I would say the second place finish last week would suggest that those do. Okay. We got Ludvig popping up in there. Jaeger, I think Jaeger actually a really strong play. KH Lee popping up in there. Doug Gim, Chez Reavie. We'll see that. There's just a lack of players that have strong recent form. And heck, if we look over the past just 5 starts for each player, Chez Reavie, Jaeger, Lucas Glover, KH Lee, Chad Ramey at 6.9. That's an interesting click. Ryan Fox, Cameron Young as well, the highest priced player on the slate. Obviously been playing much better. He had that get right spot there at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Followed up with the top 10 place finish last week. Him being the highest priced player on the slate does make sense. Then looking at stat fit here, who are the players that had the best stat fit? And once again, the top key stats that we're looking at are going to be total driving, birdie to bogey ratio, ball striking, strokes gained approach. Also looking at birdie or better percentage. And I am kind of looking at average finish on those many water hazard courses. So with that, we have Ryan Fox, smaller sample size because a lot of his starts are coming on the DP Tour. Then we got Kevin Yu. Kevin Yu is going to be a good stat fit. That's just who he is. I think he's going to make for a great GPP play. Aaron Rye, Gary Woodland, Bhatia there. And then we got Cameron Young, Vincent Norman, Jaeger, Seb Straka. So what's interesting is that a lot of the big names, Tony Finau, Justin Thomas, they're not exactly popping up this week. And it's very interesting. So let's go ahead and get into the top picks for this week because it's kind of a fun week in that regard. So I do want to start with mentioning Tony Finau and Justin Thomas, two players that are not going to be popping up this week. Okay, they are not looking like good plays this week simply because their form is terrible. Much like Colin Morikawa and much like Cameron Young, where they played in some lesser field events. I guess Cameron Young was the John Deere Classic. Colin Morikawa was the Rocket Mortgage Classic. They are playing in these events. One, Tony Finau is the defending champ, but two, because they need to get right. It's a get right spot for them. They should be able to go out and play well. And it's not too long ago that someone like Tony Finau won, and then Justin Thomas as well. It seemed kind of like last week was the valley, the deepest valley that he could be in, the lowest point. Okay. And so it does seem like he's going to be on a climb. And if you look at it, the Open Championship is not a tournament in which a golfer should be finding their form. Now, his biggest issue has literally been one bad round. Okay. We see that in all of his kind of logs here. One bad round. If he can eliminate that one bad round, he should be able to go out and play well. And it's not too long ago that we saw him play some good golf. It wouldn't be shocking to see him play well. And that's why we're getting him at a cheap price today, because he is a little bit risky of a play. A lot of name value here, but it wouldn't be shocking to see him play well. If you guys want to roster him, I do think he makes the cut. If he makes the cut, who knows? He probably has a good second and third and fourth round as well. Really just depends on that first round that he's having. The issue that he has really hasn't been like completely terrible shots. Like, I don't know if we exactly are worrying about him because he's going to hit the ball into the water too much. That being said, he has been a little bit sloppy around the greens and whatnot. So those are two players that I'm not exactly going to be on. Let's talk about the players that I will be on. So I do think Cameron Young is going to be a good starting point for players that we want to be on this week. Cameron Young really, I think, found his form last week. And if you look at the player profile, sure, there's going to be a lot of golfers in which we are getting a little bit more red and orange in the, you know, conditional formatting that we're looking at. A lot of yellow there as well, but coming in off of two top 10 finishes, it's kind of natural for a player to have a lull in his game, and it's kind of natural for an elite player like, and I would say Cameron Young's elite, for him then to find it and really pop for a bunch of top 10 finishes. If we're looking at some of the past winners, Tony Finau, Cameron Champ, Matthew Wolff, sure, it's a little bit of a strange sample, but those golfers are golfers that do drive the ball a little bit further. They are able to take advantage of the par fives. And for the love of goodness, on the 18th hole this week, if I see anyone lay up short and end up in the water in front of the par 5 18, I'm going to be so mad. It is such an easy hole, it seems like. Just put your driver or even 3-wood into play into the fairway or even into the rough, and then just hit another 3-wood into the grandstands. Literally, no one should end up short. It's not that difficult a hole. I don't get it. You saw that happen so much last year, and I was so frustrated with it. That being said, we probably shouldn't have to worry about that with Cameron Young. This is going to be an ideal course for him. He is the favorite to win, but he should be the favorite to win. He's going to be a player that I think we are looking at heavily and often, and it's going to be pretty easy to fit him into your builds if you choose to do so. From there, I do think Sungjae Im is going to be a player that's going to be tough not to like this week as well. Sungjae Im, obviously great course history, second and 15th there. If you just look at players that have multiple starts at this tournament, he is the best in terms of course history. Fifth overall, though. We look at everything there. A little bit hit or miss recently for Sungjae Im, but he's also someone that, given the way he's played on this tournament, given the fact that he's a great staff fit and great specialist, at that price tag of 10.3, I feel like we're getting a good price tag. And once again, we can easily fit in Cameron Young and Sungjae Im if we choose to do so as well. The pricing is pretty awesome this week. It's a lot of soft pricing. I feel like the lineup process is pretty simple in terms of where we want to be constructing our lineup. It's just how we want to go about kind of closing out our build. And that can be the biggest difference maker, is how you close out your build. Maybe ending up on someone that might be less desirable, and you just kind of got to hope that they make the cut. And then looking at Hideki here, I'm actually really shocked that he is coming in as the best play, but he did have a 7th place finish at this tournament 4 years ago. So that really helps with course history. Recent form rank, yeah, in the field, he's a stud in terms of recent form. Sure, missed the cut 2 events ago, but other than that, just been a stud. I mean, really, the biggest worries, a little bit of key stat-wise, so a little bit of toll driving. Maybe he finds the water. You know, maybe that's the worry there. Pretty bogey ratio though, very solid there. Ball striking could be a little bit better once again, but look at the stroke gain approach, like really solid there. He's someone that's just going to pepper greens, give himself opportunities to make putts, and that's really what you need to be doing here. So yeah, we have three really solid plays right off the bat, and I think the strategy here is going to be trying to fit at least one of those players into our builds. From there, who could we be looking at as well? Well, I say we go down to this kind of lower section here. Gary Wilden's actually someone that is popping up this week, and it's been a while since someone like Gary Wilden's been popping up. I know other people in the community might try to talk you into him as a play when he's not really a good stat fit or really a good play at all. He is popping up this week. It kind of worries me, but all in all, he has been someone that has been playing some much better golf this season. And if we look at it as a whole, I mean, 17 out of 22 made cuts, made the cut at the Open Championship, played well at the Scottish Open, and he's just been someone that has been delivering some pretty solid results. Given the fact that this is going to be a little bit easier of a course for him, I expect him to make the cut this week. If you're trying to go more of a fair and balanced approach, which you can easily do this week, he'd be someone that you'd be looking at. And then also, Stefan Jaeger, who last week, not going to lie, a pretty big disappointment, but all in all, I would say it was just an off week, kind of a different kind of tournament for him there at the Barracuda Championship, where different scoring, right? That's kind of more closely related to like DFS type scoring. So we can maybe kind of write that off. If we do, we can see a 13th, 9th, 64th. He's been someone though, we can see extreme consistency. Even on his off weeks, he is still, for the most part, making the cut. The worry with him, only two top 10 finishes, right? That's a little bit of a worry. I would say it'd be something that makes a lot of sense as a top 20 bet, but this is a course in which I think is a good setup for him. So if we're trying to go more of a fair and balanced approach, we could easily fit him into our builds. It's just whether or not you guys want to do so. From there, we're going to jump down into that mid-tier plays, the 8K to 9K price point tier. And guys, just real quickly, I feel like I'm struggling a little bit. A lot of you guys know why. Not the best sleep the past few nights, okay? I apologize. It is what it is, okay? Giving you guys the best advice. So let's go ahead and get back into it. hopefully it's making sense for you. Let's look at this, though. The mid-tier that we got. I think Adam Hadwin is really strangely mispriced, I would say. Sure, he missed out the John Deere Classic. That was highly alarming. Really? Shouldn't have happened. Kind of fluky, honestly. Like, look at his previous start, second, 59th, 12th. Just kind of weird there. His issue, though, lately, like all these players, a lot of these players that we're going to be on, is one random bad start or one random bad round. 73rd, a round of 73, sorry, a round of 79. You know, like those inconsistent rounds are kind of why these golfers are playing in these events. But all in all, Adam Hadwin here is someone that is popping up as someone that we should be on. We see the course history, pretty solid. 38th, 6th, 4th, all in all. Like, we look at the metrics, specialist-wise, top 20, course history-wise, top 20, stat fit-wise, top 20, recent form-wise, top 20. He's coming in as the 22nd best pick in the 95 mile. All in all, he's definitely someone that we should be looking at this week. From there, we scroll down a little bit lower, and I want to call it these three plays, and even Vincent Norman. Like, these players right here are all going to be golfers that I think we want to be going out of our way to play. And if you guys even want to roster, like, Bo Hosler as well, you could, because these are all going to be golfers that are coming in pretty strong form. They're all going to be good plays. Let's just take a peek at them. Obviously, Mark Harbert's gonna be the one that's popping up the most, the player that we probably want to be going out of our way to play the most as well. The worry, not the best stat fit. There's some alarming stats, but kind of like Hideki, where we can maybe look past the total driving and ball striking a little bit because he has good stroke skin approach, good birdie to bogey ratio. I don't think we have to worry about that too much. And we do see four top 10 finishes over his past seven starts. That is huge. He is someone that is looking like he's going to be a great play. It's no shock that he's really popping up this much. I'm a little shocked at the pricing that we're getting on him this week. Hopefully it's not a trap. Hopefully we're not catching him at the ascent and now he's going to start to descend there in terms of like peaking. But all in all, looking like a great play. I think he's going to make for a great outright bet this week as well. Talk about this a lot. Players just need to keep putting themselves into contention to win, and eventually they will. You kind of look at Brian Harman in terms of majors. He is someone that has found himself on the leaderboard a bunch. Even this season has found himself in contention a little bit. You look at Rory, look at Cameron Young, you look at Ricky, look at Wyndham Clark. That's kind of the theme this week or this season has been that players continue to put themselves into contention to win, and they are figuring out ways to win. That could very much be Mark Harbert as a play this week, and at 8.3, he's looking like someone that we should be going out of our way to play. And then from there, just calling out some of those other plays, like we have JT Poston, he is someone that typically is a little bit hit or miss. Once again, all these guys, it's more or less one bad round, right? US Open, one bad round, missed the cut. Travis Championship, shot pretty well, one bad round, missed the cut. Made the cut of the Open Championship, that's pretty solid. Genesis, Scottish Open, finished 6th. John Deere Classic finished 6th, so he is someone that's not a terrible play. Course history-wise, just went 11th and 28th here, so certainly someone you can talk yourself into. Love the fact that he has made 3 straight cuts in a row now. Lucas Glover, an extremely interesting click this week because 3 straight top 6 or better finishes. Obviously phenomenal there. The worry with him is we look at his course history, miscut, and 7th. So it's like, do we go with him in cash? Is he a GPP only play? We know we want to be on him. We know he's a good play. We know he has the upside to go on, you know, potentially win. Obviously give us the top 10 finish. The worry is in the safety, okay? Look at the made cut percent. He has one of the lowest made cut projection percent at 65% in the mid-tier price point tier. That's because of that poor course history, and that's honestly because of the spotty form throughout the whole season. But given the fact that he's coming in off of 3 straight top 10 finishes, he is someone that I do think we could fit in there. And so we're looking at this. We are putting together a pretty solid, fair, and balanced build right now. That's kind of the week that we had. If we want to go further, Vincent Norman, our outright winner from 2 weeks ago, is someone that's popping up as well. Not a terrible play, not an elite play either, but certainly someone we can end up on. I love the fact that he had another good week last week after that victory. Stat fit wise, he is going to be a top 10 stat fit, ranking out 12th in the field in total driving, 5th in the field in birdie to bogey ratio, 10th in ball striking, and 36th in stroke skin approach. Statistically speaking, it wouldn't be shocking to see him have a good week. And now we're going to drop down into that low tier price point tier. Looking at someone like Aaron Rye. Aaron Rye has been kind of hit or miss as well. Missed the cut at the Genesis Scottish Open. That was a little bit of worry there, but not terrible. Still shot -1, right? Top 10 finish at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, top 10 finish at the RBC Canadian Open, top 25 finish at the Travelers Championship. Like, when he has been on, he has been giving us results that we would like at this price tag. or his past five or so starts. Aaron Rye is actually coming in as the best staff in the field as well. Top 25 specialist, top 20 in recent form rank. So it wouldn't be surprising to see him pop and really have a good week this week. From there, I do want to call Justin Suh, who I would say his pricing is a little bit strange, just given the consistency of a player that has made seven straight cuts in a row. It's just strange that we're getting him at this price. A 21 out of 26 made cuts this season. Obviously, the Corn Ferry Tour Player of the Year last year. I get why he's kind of priced this low, but at the same time, we should begin to make cut out of him. At the same time, this is a golfer that should be able to go out and play well at a course like this, at a track like this. Like at 4 years ago, he was someone that did make the cut, finishing 58th. He was not the same player he was 4 years ago as he is right now. He's a much better player now. Now, he's not the best at fit, not the best specialist, but all in all, he keeps finding ways to make the cut. Really good price tag there for him. And that's where we're starting to get to the range where there's so many good options. It's just kind of ending up on the right one, or like kind of luckily ending up on the correct ones. Ryan Fox would fall into that category. Ryan Fox has played some extremely good golf. It seems like each week he is undervalued, and I don't really know why. He's made 15 out of 18 cuts thus far this season. Six made cuts now on the PGA Tour. The 52nd place finish at the Open Championship was following a opening round of 78. Really just had a terrible opening nine. I kind of love that. I love that he was able to bounce back. And, you know, you look at his most recent missed cut with Drew, terrible at the Valero Texas Open, but for the most part has been a very solid golfer. There's a good potential that, heck, he could find himself in contention. I don't think that'd really be shocking. At 7.6, it does feel like the correct click. The worry that I have with a player like him and some of these other players is we have seen a lot of travel out of them. You know, a lot of them traveled to the Genesis Scottish Open and then play in the Open Championship, right? And now they're traveling back to play this week as well. That to me is a little bit of a worry. It's not going to really change any of the plays too much. Let's say I was 50-50 on Justin Suh and also Ryan Fox. Maybe I would default to Suh just because we wouldn't have to worry about the travel too much. You know, that might just be a 50-50 decision maker for me there. So Peter Quest was someone that was popping up in there as a decent kind of stat fit, specialist ranking wise. Really fell off after having a good opening round last week. Missed the cut as a chalky play at the Barbasol Championship. Still played well, -2. He's someone that you would kind of expect to play well, although I would say the pricing is correct on him. So from there, I want to get into Chaz Reavy. Chaz Reavy is someone that also kind of makes this week a little bit easier on paper, just given the pricing. So guys, he's went 49th and 11th at this tournament. You look at key stat wise, nothing too alarming. Okay, ranks out 66th in ball striking. That's his worst key stat that we're looking at. And given the field that we have, I'm kind of fine with that. Other than that, basically all top 30 key stat wise. He's made 8 straight cuts now in a row on the PGA Tour, which is obviously phenomenal there. Has a top 10 finish recorded in there at the Travelers Championship. So he's someone that has been delivering some good results. Fifth best specialist as well. 10th in recent form rank, overall top 20 play as current price tag. That is definitely intriguing. I love the fact that he's made 2 straight cuts at this tournament. I love the fact that he's made 8 straight cuts now on the PGA Tour. I want to call Grayson Sigg as well, because he is someone here that missed the cut on the number last week, but it's kind of the way that he did it. So he struggled in round one. We saw that, but he was able to make a birdie on 18 to get himself inside the cut line. Unfortunately for him, he finished like 67th, obviously T65 and ties make it. He finished just outside, one shot off the cut line, 2 players away from making the cut. Very clutch birdie though on 18 to give himself a chance to make the cut, obviously. To me, that's huge. That's very huge. And he is someone that kind of is looking like a good play again this week as well, as he is someone that last year finished top 10. We do see a lot more random results here. I've mentioned that a few times. Sure, a little bit easier to predict in terms of like made cuts, I would say, than some of the weeks that we get that are high variance, but like predicting upside and whatnot, a little bit more difficult this week. But he is someone that wouldn't be shocking to see him have a top 20, top 15, top 10 finish. Let's just call out both of these players here while we're here. Dylan Wu and Kevin Yu. Literally, if you just flip their starts that they've been both in together, myself and other people of 905 Nation have some massive weeks. And I mentioned that because Dylan Wu is someone that has outproduced his salary when he has made the cut, and Kevin Yu has been someone that has multiple top 10 finishes in those weeks. Now, we've been on those guys both those weeks. It's just frustrating how this went. I found it strange that he played in the Genesis Scottish. I don't find it strange, but it wasn't surprising that he was bad. But he is someone that's going to be an elite stat fit this, okay? Third best in total driving, 38th in birdie to bogey ratio. Needs to be a little bit better there. Second in ball striking and third in stroke gain approach. I think I might be having him as an outright bet this week, because all in all, he is someone that, I guess, kind of like Scott Piercy, maybe like Michael Thompson, he's someone that could continue to put himself into good spots at this tournament hole by hole and maybe just kind of find himself in contention to win. It really wouldn't be shocking given the stat fit that he is. I get why he's priced this way. I get why we're getting the odds that we are in him outright wise, but he is someone that all in all, wouldn't be shocking to see him have a good week. Then I want to call MJ Duffy as well. MJ Duffy is someone that has been playing some extremely good golf as well lately. I was actually pretty shocked at this price tag this week. 34th last week, 16th, 35th. Like, very consistent results, okay? Sure, if we go back further, kind of poor, but 19 out of 28 made cuts on the PGA Tour thus far this season. He made one start at this tournament 2 years ago, finishing 51st there. Love that. We look across the board metrics-wise, he is not presenting any sort of worry here. Like, 23rd best specialist, 37th in course history rank, 38th best staff hit. And we look at the key stats, maybe a little bit of worry there in stroke gain approach. Yeah, maybe he finds some trouble on his approach shots. That does worry me. Don't get me wrong there. But all in all, still 38th. And then top 25 playing the 95 mile. We are getting extreme price to count on him as a play this week. So he is someone that I think we will be going out of our way to play this week. And just looking at this, before I get into the value tiers, look at this. We have 2,400 left over, and we have made ourselves a pretty darn good build to start. Really, it's up to you guys where you'd want to pay up for. Like, you need to go Cameron Young, Sungjae Im, and we have plenty of salary still left over to pay up elsewhere, wherever you'd want to. Maybe you want to go from Ryan Fox. I would say that's probably not the move to go with, but if you wanted to, you certainly could. That's the issue that we have, is that we have some great 7K plays and even 8K plays where they seem to be mispriced. That's where the build process is a little bit more difficult, in the fact that it's super simple to put together a good build this week. It's trying to figure out where we are going to spend the extra money, or heck, if we even want to. Sometimes that's a little bit of a trap thought. I typically like to leave no more than 500 left available with the salary remaining. It might be a week in which I change that to maybe 800. You know, we have a lot of good 7K plays. But real quickly, let's touch on the value plays. So what I mean by value are going to be these sub 7K plays. And I want to call it Chad Ramey, because he is someone that has made five straight cuts now on the PGA Tour. Not going to be the best stat fit, but overall coming in as a 43rd best pick in the 9-5 model, he is someone that, you know, is going to give us a good shot at a made cut, especially at a cheaper price tag. I do like that. Troy Money Merritt, you know, the Troy Merritt fan club here. He's made 3 out of 4 cuts at this tournament. Okay, really good stuff there. Had a top 10 finish at this tournament 4 years ago. Since then, pretty good results. He is someone that, it was just strange that he honestly played at the Scottish Open, where he missed the cut and really struggled. Coming in off of 2 top 20 finishes, he should have played in the Barbasol Championship. Instead, he chose to go to that Scottish Open. That, to me, was a mistake. We saw him, you know, make the cut last week, which is huge. But I want to call it, he is someone that went to my alma mater for 1 year, Winona State, which is a Minnesota-based school, okay? He grew up in the Twin Cities. So he is definitely an interesting click at this price tag. I know he's not exactly ranking out well data-wise, but I think, and this is where it's tough, I think if he doesn't play at the Scottish Open, we get a top 20 finish at the Barbasol Championship, and then we are definitely looking at him, especially for someone that's made 3 out of 4 cuts. I do think we are going to get a cheap made cut here out of him, though. And then from there, from what's worth, like Russell Knox, not a terrible play, 5 straight made cuts now as well. He's someone we can sort of be looking at. Bryce Garnett, 4 straight made cuts at this tournament. He's not a terrible play there as well. Certainly someone we could be looking at in that regard as well. So not terrible. And then Goya, I want to call it as well. He's kind of sneakily been one of our most rostered players, I guess. Or the players that we've had the most in the 9-5 player pool, because he's always been too cheap, and he's too cheap again this week. Like, he has been someone that has had so many consistent results, and I get why he hasn't been that high owned, but he is also someone that, you know, just gives us pretty solid, like, made cuts, top 50 plays, finishes at a cheap price tag. Like, sure, if you're down there trying to get a made cut, he's someone that does make sense. All right, so getting to the core plays for this week, I do think Cameron Young is gonna be a core play for me this week. Coming in as the second best pick in the 9-5 model, I do think that this is just gonna be a spot for him to really get his first win. It feels like it's been trending in that direction. Played well last week at the Open Championship, played well the week prior to that. Really good stat fit, 6th best in the field. It just seems like him and his caddy are now kind of syncing together as well. He made that caddy move a while back. A little bit of inconsistent results, maybe just a little bit of a chemistry thing there. You know, when he made the move to Paul Tesori, Webb Simpson's old caddy. Dodged a little bit more of, you know, familiarity there probably as well. Nice to see him playing well. I do expect him to be in contention to win. And then I also want to call it Sungjae Im. I feel like these two players are going to be players that we can definitely afford to pay up for if we choose to do so. Maybe you do 2 of these studs, you know, Cameron Young and Sungjae Im, and pay down for some of the 4K or 7K plays that we get down there. You could fit 4 of those plays into your build. But Sungjae Im coming in as a great play, second and 15th place finish at this tournament. Great results there. We look at his whole player profile. Sure, some miscuts mixed in there. We don't like that. He is someone that's typically a little bit more consistent of a player. And I do hate the fact that we don't have any like top 10 finishes recently, but all in all, this is a course in which he loves. He's a great staff fit at this course, great specialist. I expect him to play well. Now, if you don't want to pay up for him, that's fine. You could go down with someone like Stefan Jaeger, who did miss the cut this tournament last year, but made the cut 4 years ago. All in all, going to be a good play across the board. He makes a lot of sense as a play at 9.1 for fair and balanced builds. But then we look at Mark Hubbard. Mark Hubbard is going to be an extremely easy click this week, Hopefully it pans out, though. You look at the easy clicks from last week. Denny McCarthy was one who was terrible. But then you look at Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrell Hatton. Heck, I'd even say Matthew Jordan last week was somewhat of an easier click, just given the price tag. Most of the time, these plays are going to pan out. Most of the time, these plays are going to outproduce their price tag. That's why most of the time, I'm always just going out of my way to play them. On paper, he's just mispriced. On paper, he's something that we want to be going out of our way to roster. And then just looking at Chaz Reavy as well, course history wise, 49th and 11th place finish, that has him at a strange price tag. You know, 7.3 is just a strange price tag, given the fact that he has good course history, given the fact that he has been someone that has been playing some extremely good golf, some consistent golf. Given the fact that the field's going to be a little bit, you know, lower caliber, I expect him to go out and have a good finish. I wouldn't be shocked to see Chaz Reavy in contention to win. He's probably going to be an outright bet for me. So now let's go ahead and try to put those players into a build together. And so, like, you can make this work. I think MJ Duffy is at a cheap price tag. Certainly someone we could fit into our builds if we choose to do so. If you guys want to go with Troy Merritt, maybe go with, trying to get lucky there. Then we have 6.3 left over. Maybe that's not the move to go with there. I would say maybe Goya. And potentially, do we get Russell Knox into this build? Yeah, we do. Like, we are getting a bunch of players here at the values that are hopefully going to give us a make cut. And then we're getting, you know, the next four really solid plays, the plays I'm going out of my way to roster. You can fit Cameron Young and Sung Jae Im into your build without sacrificing too much. Hopefully we get make cuts out of Goya and Knox, but we can also make a pretty solid, fair, and balanced build. That's going to be all for this video. Just want to give you guys a reminder of the promo code here. Make sure to be using it. That is $5 off the $10 membership, 50% off. Okay, I already priced it as low as I can. Okay, this is a little bit of a celebration of, you know, my baby girl being born, but also the playoffs are coming up for golf. So it's kind of a way to cap off the season as well. If you guys have been on the fence about, you know, getting a membership, $5 a month, I mean, you really cannot afford not to use that if you are playing fantasy golf. But that's going to be all for this video. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the coverage. If you did, you know what to do. Please give a like and subscribe. That does help out the channel. Let's have a good slate. As always, let's keep cashing.